Fantastic. Okay, next we have Hannah taking out the threes to sixes. And I know you're ready for action, guys. I can see how excited you were earlier on. Thanks, Hannah. Great. And then Helen is going to take out all the guys between the ages of 7 and 11 this morning. Brilliant. Thank you. Okay. All ready to go. Matthew.
Hello, Adam.
How are you?
Oh.
Have you got everything you need?
Yeah, just need the clicker as well. Thanks, Mike. Lovely. Thanks, Ian. Good dancing skills. Great. Well, good morning, everyone. Hello. Thanks, guys, I hope you don't have to twist your neck too much. I'll try and stand so you can see me nicely. And yeah, my name's Matthew, as Adam said, and really warm welcome to this morning, especially if you're visiting as well. It's really good to have you with us, and looking forward to the baptisms in a little bit. And I don't know, maybe for some, it might be the first time you've ever seen a baptism as well. So that's really exciting to kind of see that for the first time. If you've got like a student to tick list as well, things to do while you're a student, that's something you can maybe add on the end and tick off. I don't know, probably didn't make it on there. But anyway, yeah, welcome this morning. And I'm going to just tell a story about one of the first ever baptisms after Jesus had been on the earth. One of the first ever ones. So you can kind of have a little look of what like baptism is all about, really, and what the guys are going to be doing today. And a couple of weeks ago, now thinking of you guys over here, we may have to twist for a little bit. Have you seen in View Cinema where they have the bean bags like at the bottom in front of the screen? Has anyone ever seen anyone use one of those? I can't, like, that's like a guaranteed like crick neck, isn't it? But I was watching a film recently over the Easter holidays, and if you could stick that slide up for me, Si, State of Play, it was called, with Russell Crowe and Rachel McAdams, I think, yeah, and Ben Affleck. It's a really good film, and basically, there's this guy, and he's committed a crime, and there's a fugitive on the run, and Russell Crowe and Rachel McAdams, they're like two reporters, and they're trying to like work out what's gone on and get to the bottom of it all, and they're chasing this fugitive, and then about halfway through the film, Rachel McAdams, she's in a hospital, and she ends up in a lift, and this fugitive who she's tracking down steps into the lift next to her, and they're standing like right next to each other. But at that moment in the film, they don't realize that it's each other that they're like looking for and hunting each other down. And obviously, you know, you watching it, you know that, and it's like really frustrating. You're like, he's right there next to you, like, arrest him! You know, ask him some questions, but you know, she doesn't know it yet, and you see that a lot in films, don't you, where kind of two people, they cross paths, and they don't quite know that they're meant to yet, and when I did GCSE English, I'm sure there was some kind of phrase that describes that, but I can't remember what it was. But in the event that we're looking at today, in the story today, there's two characters, and they cross paths, and they walk right past each other, and they're both like looking for something different, and they don't realize that it's each other that they need to encounter and each other that they need to meet. And they cross paths. And the first man, we don't know his name, but what we do know is that he was an Ethiopian, and he was a man who held great authority. He had a position of great responsibility. He worked for the Queen of Ethiopia at the time, or her official title was the Kandake. And in that nation at the time of Ethiopia, the king was considered like too important to involve himself in the daily runnings of a kingdom. He was too important for that. So all of the finances, all of the running, the welfare, everything like that, he was too important to that. So all that was delegated to the queen. So she was in charge of the running of the kingdom. And this guy was the treasurer to the queen. So he was basically in charge of the finances of the nation. He had a great job, a lot of responsibility. So he'd done really well for himself. But he was still kind of looking for something more. He wasn't quite satisfied with how things were going. And he wasn't a Jew, but he knew that the Jews believed in God. And he'd heard about this, and something about it attracted him. He was intrigued by it. So much so that he traveled all the way by chariot from Ethiopia all the way down to Jerusalem to worship God and to see it for himself and to find out more. And he could see that there was something in this, but he couldn't quite work it all out. And after going there and worshipping, and I'm sure he had a good time, but as he was traveling back in his chariot, he still had questions, and he still wasn't quite satisfied with what he'd seen, and he was trying to work it all out. It was a bit like a few weeks ago, we had the Gosainen Food Festival just up the road, massive festival, which Sean, one of the ladies in the church, was helping to organize and puts it all together each year. And Flick, one of my friends and a girl in the church here, she was going along to the festival. And afterwards, we were driving to a wedding, a few of us, and she was telling us about her day and what the festival was like. And she'd said that when she went to the festival, the one thing she wanted to buy was some nice bread. She wanted to go around the stores and find some real nice bread, something a bit different. So she goes to the festival. She said she picked up loads of treats, loads of nice things, tried loads of things, bought loads of stuff, came home. Then the one thing that she didn't get home with was bread. It was the only thing that she forgot to buy. And so she had a great time and she'd enjoyed trying lots of different things, but kind of the one thing that she'd been like really looking for and really hoping for, she'd kind of left without it. So she's a little bit disappointed. And that's a bit like what this Ethiopian would have experienced on his way back. He was still questioning, hadn't quite found the one thing that he was looking for. The other guy, on the other hand, was a guy called Philip. And Philip, he was a leader in the early church. And in the first like days after Jesus had been on the earth, and his job, he was in charge of running like a first century food bank. He was in charge of making sure that the poor and widows and people without were catered for, and that they had food and they wouldn't go hungry, and that was his job. But when some like persecution hit the area and Christians were scattered all over, he ended up in a city a little bit further away called Samaria. And while he was in Samaria, he was telling people about Jesus. God was performing amazing, like miracles through him. People were prayed for and were getting healed and were like freed from like life-controlling issues. And God was doing amazing things. And loads of people, huge crowds, began to believe in Jesus and get baptized. But then in the middle of all this, with these huge crowds, God instructed Philip to leave the city and to go and visit a desert road that ran from two cities, from Gaza to Jerusalem. And so Philip, not knowing what would happen next, makes his way down to this road. And then it's at that moment, as he's walking along the road, that the chariot carrying the Ethiopian moves past him. And they cross each other's paths, but they don't realize that it's, you know, each other they need to see. But luckily for us, it wasn't a Hollywood film. And the Holy Spirit speaks to Philip and guides him and prompts him to go up alongside this chariot that moves past him. And often, that's how God often speaks to us, isn't it? In these kind of simple ways through the Holy Spirit. Like we could imagine if God was ever going to speak to us, there'd be like flashes in the sky or like as you see in some films, like mysterious signs that like only you would be able to decrypt and work out. But actually, when we are like walking with God and live in relationship with him, he speaks to us in like very normal ways all the time. And if anyone's like, that intrigues you a little bit and you think, I'd like to find out a little bit more about like how God speaks and how I can hear God in my life. Someone once gave me this really good little book by a church leader called Bill Hybels called How to Hear God or Listening to God. And it's really small, but he looks like the Bible and some personal stories and similar things to like what Philip had. And I got five of them with me this morning. So if that's like intrigues you, feel free to like come and take one. You can have a little read, find out a little bit more. But this is what happened to Philip. And he heard from the Holy Spirit. And so then he went up and jogs alongside this chariot. And as he goes alongside, he can hear the Ethiopian reading out loud from the Bible. Now, who reads out loud? Like, I know some of the students here doing your exams, Eurovision, in the library. But have you ever noticed sometimes you're in an exam or in the library and someone like is like speaking out loud or talking to themselves and reading out loud and they don't even like realize it? I've had that in exam a few times and they get shushed at them. But I guess the most equivalent one that you see now is on the train or something when someone's got their headphones in, they don't quite realize and they're singing along because their headphones, they don't quite know how loud they're doing it. I've definitely been there before, got a few funny looks, or in the car usually. But this is like what this Ethiopian was doing. He was reading out loud from the scriptures, and Philip could hear him, and he sounded puzzled. And so Philip leans over and asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian, the guy says, "No, I don't understand it. How can I understand unless someone tells me?" And then he invites Philip up into the chariot to sit next to him and to help him and to have a look together. And so Philip now, he's gone along this road, he's jogged up alongside this chariot, and now he's invited in, and he's sitting next to this Ethiopian. And they have a look at the passage that he was reading, and this is what it said. "As a sheep led to the slaughter, and as quiet as a lamb being sheared, he was silent, saying nothing. He was mocked and put down, never got a fair trial. But who now can count his kin, since he's been taken from the earth. So you can see why the Ethiopian would have been reading this like a little bit puzzled. It's not like necessarily the clearest piece of the Bible to read, is it? And he asks Philip, he says, was the author talking about himself or did he write this about someone else? And so then Philip begins to explain that this passage here is actually a picture of what would happen to Jesus. And it was written 700 years prior to Jesus coming to the earth. And this is just like a really small snippet of the passage. It's actually a lot longer than this. And it's incredibly accurate description of what happened to Jesus. And it was written 700 years before he was on the earth. And there's hundreds of these in the Bible that kind of look ahead of what Jesus would do. And I studied history at uni, and I love history. And that's one of the things I really love about the Bible is it is just full of like dates and names and details and stories and all these different things. And you know, my history mind like gets going, and I love to like unpack it and look into it and explore it and see how it relates to other things that were happening at the world at the time. And as you look through the Bible, you can see how it all like ties together and pulls together and makes sense together, and how it just communicates God's like overwhelming love for people and his overwhelming like desire to know people and to be in relationship with people. And it all pulls together and reveals like God's great plan to know people and to be with people and for them to experience him and experience like the great love and purpose that he has for each one of us. And one of the passages I love is something that John wrote, one of Jesus' closest friends. And this is what he wrote. He said, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we may have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And that's like the whole Bible kind of pulls together and communicates this message. And this is what the passage that the Ethiopian was reading, this is what that was about. And that's what like Jesus demonstrated when he was on earth. God's like overwhelming love and desire to connect with people. Because the whole reason that Jesus came in the first place was to restore like our relationship with God so that we could have our relationship restored and know him in our lives. Because our relationship with God, if left like as it is broken. Like when two friends have a falling out and they have a disagreement and there's a bit of a discord or an argument or whatever, and there's a broken relationship and it needs some kind of resolution. And it's the same with us and God. It's a broken relationship. And the cause of that is simply like the wrong things that we've done in our lives, the mistakes. And the Bible calls it sin. But I bought this new Stereophonics album a couple of weeks ago because I love the Stereophonics. I've always loved them. And the last track on the album is called No One's Perfect. And that's what the song is about, like just how none of us are perfect. And Jesse J as well released a song a couple of years ago in the charts. And that was called No One's Perfect as well. And in the chorus, it goes like this. She repeats it over and over. So don't tell me you can't forgive me because nobody's perfect. And it's true, isn't it? And we all need forgiving. We all need forgiving from each other. Like when we let each other down, and we do it all the time, don't we? And we all need friends to forgive us and families to forgive us. Like we need forgiveness to make life work so that we can get along with each other. And it's the same with God. We need God's forgiveness in the same way. And those simple wrong things that we've done, they just create a barrier between us and God. It's created a discord. It's separated us from him. And we just simply need forgiving. And Jessie J, in her song, she's like questioning the other character. And she's saying, you know, are you willing to forgive me? Because nobody's perfect, so will you forgive me? And the great thing that we can all be confident in and know is that God is always willing. And that is what he wants. He wants forgiveness and restoration. And that we can be made right with God. And, you know, when we say sorry and we want to be made right with him, he is willing. He wants to do that and to have new life and to bring that restoration. And that's what this baptism is all about today. In a moment now, we'll see the guys get baptized. That is kind of like what's happening. It's a picture of that. So when the guys go like under the water, when they get in a moment, that like represents Jesus' death on the cross when they go down under the water. And the passage that the Ethiopian was reading, it goes on a little bit further, and this is the next bit that it says. It says, talking about Jesus, it says, he willingly gave his life and was treated like a criminal, but he carried away the sins of many people and asked forgiveness for those who sinned. So when the guys go under the water, and that kind of represents Jesus' death, what that means is that when Jesus was on the earth and when he died, all of the things that like separate us from God, he took that like on himself on the cross. And when he died, it's like it died with him. And when he was buried, when the guys go under the water, it represents burying those things with Jesus, like putting them on him and leaving them there. And Jesus, when he died and when he was buried, he took those things on himself and he put them in the grave and they were left there. And when the guys go under the water, it's like them saying that Jesus did that for me. Like, he's done that for me too. In Romans 6, a book in the New Testament, one of the church leaders at that time, Paul, he kind of describes it like this. He says, when we became Christians and were baptized, we became one with Christ Jesus. We died with him. And so that's what it means. It's like saying, I put those things on Jesus as well. And then when they come up out of the water again, hopefully they won't be under there too long. Got some armbands just in case. When they come out again, that talks about when Jesus was then raised to life and he came back to life again. And it's the same with us. And when Jesus came back to life, the power that the wrong things we've done, that sin that separated from us from God, the power that it had to do that was broken and defeated. And Jesus like forged a way for our relationship with God to be like brought back together. That's what he did. And when we come out of the water, it's like identifying with Jesus coming out of and coming back alive again. And it's like saying, you know, those things that have separated me from God, the wrong things I've done, I leave those buried with Jesus, and now I come out again, and I want new life. I want new life with you, God. I want my friendship restored with you, and I want to have a life with you. And that's kind of like our part to play in the process, where we say, you know, I'm leaving that the old stuff there, and now I'm coming up out again to be renewed and restored and have new life with you. And that's what, like, when they come out of the water, that's what it means. And Paul, he describes this again, the little next bit in his book. It says, and just as Christ was raised from the dead, now we may also live new lives. And that's what that talks about, new life with God. And that's open to like each person. Every single one of us can have that and can have that relationship, restore with God, have a fresh start with God, can know him in our lives right now and for the rest, you know, the rest of our lives here and for the whole of eternity. And when Philip like described this to the Ethiopian in that chariot, to him, it made sense. He realized, this is the thing that I have been looking for. This is what I traveled all this way for. This is the thing I've been searching for. And as he was going along and he heard this, he spotted a pool of water on the side of the road. And he said to Philip, look, there's some water. Why can't I get baptized now? He wanted to do it straight away. So he orders the chariot to stop and they pull over. And him and Philip, they got out of the chariot. They went down to the side of the road. They got into the water. And Philip baptized him there and then. And it says, when he went down and when he came up out of the water again, he was rejoicing. His heart was like full of joy. And he discovered like all that God had for him and was so like excited and full of joy. And I'm sure when we hear these guys' stories now, hear their testimonies, they'll say a similar thing. Or if you ask them, you know, what was it like when you like went down and came out? It would be great to hear what they say. And I'm sure they'll say similar things to what this Ethiopian felt. And this is a real great story. And it was a guy called Luke who recorded this story. And Luke was a historian, and he was also a doctor. And he was someone that traveled with the disciples, and he met Paul, and he met other of the people who were alive at the same time as Jesus. And he recorded this, and he also wrote the book of Luke, which records Jesus' life, and he wrote the book of Acts as well, which records the whole of like the history of the early church in its first years. And I asked a question, like, why did Luke include this story in that history? It's a book that is only a short book, but it covers like 30 to 40 years and like hundreds of cities and thousands of people. It's a huge span, but yet he includes this like story of like one person's baptism in it, like right in the middle of it. Like, why did he include that? Why did like God inspire Luke to include this story in that book. And the reason is that God is all about individuals and meeting with individuals. He cares about each of us personally, and he wants to know each one of us personally and individually. And when Jesus was on the earth, people often used to ask him what he was doing, because what he would get up to was quite like countercultural at the time. People would be confused by it, and they'd ask him, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And there's one time when he was having a meal with tax collectors and some people who had like a real bad reputation in the society at the time. And he was eating with them, and some people were asking him, like, why are you eating with these people? I don't understand. Why are you meeting with these people? And Jesus' answer just like communicated that God really does want to know individuals and cares about each person and is for each person. And he told it in a story, and it's a famous story. You would have heard it before. It's when Jesus said, it's like a farmer who had 100 sheep. And if one of them wandered away, wouldn't the shepherd go and search the mountains, leave the 99 where they are, and search the mountains for the one? Now, when I hear that story, the first thing I think is, no. There's no way, would you do that? Like, if you had 99 and one kind of wandered off, like, there's no way I would probably leave the 99 and go looking for the one. Just didn't seem to add up in my mind. But the reason that, like, Jesus said it was he was communicating, like, the length that God is willing to go and the extraordinary, like, desire that he has to know us and to meet with people. And just like a farmer who would leave the 99 and go searching for one, he wants to know each and everyone. And that's what happens in this story that we see here. You've got this one guy, this one Ethiopian, like heading off on his own on a chariot going home. But God like sends Philip after him to give him an opportunity to find out about God and to encounter him and to know the things that he has for him. And God wants to do that for each and every one of us. He wants each of us to know him and like reaches out that opportunity to encounter him. And, you know, maybe this morning, as we've been, like, looking at these baptisms and spending time together, maybe, like, that's how you feel. Maybe you feel that, like, God is actually, like, reaching out to you and into your life and is, like, looking for you. And maybe it feels like Jesus is actually reaching out to you this morning and is speaking to you. And in this story with the Ethiopian, when Philip explained this to him, he just knew that this is what he wanted and this is what he'd been looking for. And he responded straight away. And he thought, actually, this is what I want. And he went for it. And in a moment, just before I finish, I'm just going to pray. And if you think, actually, this is something that I want to know God in my life. I want to have relationship with him. I want to have a fresh start. Then when I pray, you can take that opportunity as well to say, actually, the wrong things that I've done, I also want to like turn away from those, and I want to bury them with Jesus and allow Jesus to like take them on himself. And I want to turn from that and have like a fresh start with God. And if that's something that you'd like to do, then when I pray, just pray along with me, and in your own like mind or in your own heart before God, just say that to him as well. And that's an opportunity for you to do what this Ethiopian did. We've got this new series starting next week, the What on Earth Am I Here For?, which is a real good opportunity to kind of find out a bit more and question this and explore it a bit more. And I'd really like to invite you as well, if that's something you'd like to come along to, like next Sunday it's starting off, or you can listen to them online. You know, you can get the book on the internet if you want, or like up here on a Tuesday is a chance to chat about it, find out, ask some questions. And if you'd like to come, just feel free to just come along and have a look a little bit more. But when the Ethiopian heard this and he spotted the water, he said to himself, well, why can't I be baptized now? Like, he wanted to go for it, like, straight away. And I want to give you an opportunity as well. Like, if you haven't been baptized, and maybe you're hearing this the first time, or maybe you've just never been baptized and you would like to be, and you think, wow, yeah, I want to do what that like Ethiopian did, where he just spotted the water, I want to do it straight away. And if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to say, wow, yeah, I want to get baptized right now today, then we got a load of like spare towels and clothes for men and women. And in a moment when the band sing a song, the kids are going to come back in. And if you go with Julian. He'll show you where there's like a changing room out there, and you can feel free to get changed and join the four guys who are getting baptized. And that would be really, really cool if you want to do that. There's an opportunity there if you'd like to. But before that, the band are going to play us a song in a minute. But first, shall we just pray to end? Yeah, God, I thank you that more than anything else, you want to have relationship with us, and you want to know us, and you've got great and good things for our lives. And Jesus, I thank you that you came, went all the way to the cross and died so that we could, our relationship with you could be restored and fixed. And this morning, God, I want to say thank you that you, Jesus, you died for me. And I want to bury my sins, the wrong things I've done, the things that separate me from you. I want to bury those with you, Jesus, on the cross. And I pray that you will forgive me for those things. And Lord, I turn away from those things, and I want to have a new life with you and be restored. And I want to follow you with my life and know you. I pray, Lord, that you'll come and meet me now. In Jesus' name, amen.